This week on the Silver and Black Show, the Raiders head east to take on the 4-2 Bills. In our Hawaiian Airlines overview, I sit down with the Rocket himself, Jalen Richard, and Chris Townsend joins head coach Jack Del Rio as they discuss the challenges that the Raiders face on the road. All that and more on the Silver and Black Show, starting right now.
The Silver and Black Show.
We've got Buffalo week. Good football team. They're 4-2. They're 3-0 at home. And they're playing really good defense and running the ball well. And got a dynamic playmaker at quarterback.
Trying to summarize it as a whole, it's a little bit different because they're not running the same things, you know. They're playing a little bit different style of defense.
They definitely have a different plan for each team. I don't know if it's scheme-wise or if it's quarterback-wise. Getting their guys one-on-ones up front is definitely something that they want to be able to do. We have to have a specific plan for Khalil Mack and Bruce Irvin as well, too. He's a great pass rusher as well.
They're well coached up front. Coach Tice, the offensive line coach, does a really nice job. They've been together for some time. They're big, and the quarterback gets the ball out, too. So that works hand-in-hand with what they do. You know, we have our work cut out for us in that regard this week.
The Raiders look to get back to 500. Welcome to this Week 8 edition of the Silver and Black Show. I'm your host, Nicole Zalumis, alongside two-time Super Bowl champion Jim Plunkett. Jim, we look at the Raiders' next opponent, the Buffalo Bills, and they've really exceeded expectations. Two big wins over the Falcons and the Broncos. They're now sitting at 4-2 through 7 weeks. You look at what Vegas said at the start of the season, that their win total would be 6.5. What has changed when it comes to the Buffalo Bills that started the season to now? What's been the big difference for them?
Well, I think one of the big differences has been their defense. Their defense is playing awfully good. Although they're giving up yards, they're not giving up a whole lot of points, number one. And number two, they're at plus 10 in the turnover ratio. They've got 9 interceptions, 13 sacks, so they're playing very good defense. Although they get up the yards, they're not letting them in the end zone all that often.
Well, and their signal caller is a big reason for their success, and that leads us to our headlines. Our first one, TaylorMade. One of the main reasons for the Bills' success is the play of their quarterback, Tyrod Taylor. The seventh-year signal caller out of Virginia Tech is completing 60% of his throws and is on pace to set a career high in passing yards. But it's not what he does through the air so much as what he does on the ground. Since he arrived in Buffalo in 2015, he leads all quarterbacks in rushing at almost 40 yards a game. Jim, when you have such a dynamic player at signal caller like Tyrod Taylor, how do you game plan differently as opposed to if you faced a traditional pocket passer?
Well, there's a couple of things you can do, and one is to put a spy on him so that if he starts to take off, you have somebody chasing him down. And number two, you know, keep him in containment. Stay outside. Don't let him get outside. He makes a lot of his big plays on the outside, either running or throwing the football. And these guys are, you know, even though you say you want to contain him, it's still very difficult because sometimes you're only rushing four. He gets through a seam and takes off. So, but most of his big plays has come outside of the pocket.
Our second headline, a cold front. Seeing the Raiders offense play as well as they did in week 7 was a huge relief, but this week offers up another formidable challenge. The Bills defense has quietly been one of the better units in the league. They allow the fourth fewest points per game at 16.8, and they're tied for the second most interceptions and forced fumbles through week 7. Jim, with how well this Bills defense is playing, do you see any vulnerabilities that the Raiders can exploit?
You know, once again, it all comes down to the running game for the most part. Be able to run the football. Use play action passes off those runs. Get those linebackers to bite on play action. And, you know, that's one of the best ways to do it. Plus, you keep the ball away from them if you're able to run the ball successfully.
To our third headline, Raiders road trip. The Raiders head to Buffalo for their first of two games on the East Coast. Coincidentally, it was week 7 and 8 last year that the Silver and Black made the trip to play against Tampa Bay and Jacksonville. They'll once again stay east following their game with the Bills and head straight to Florida to get ready for Miami. Jim, as we know, traveling across country is tough. When you stay over, though, for a week, how does that change everything? How does it make it easier on the team?
As you mentioned, you know, going across country two different times is extremely tough on the players. A lot of cramping up on those planes. But, you know, they're going to stay at a nice hotel, the Ritz-Carlton in Sarasota.
That always helps.
It certainly does, you know. And the players, I think, enjoy that. And number two, they have a nice place to practice, IMG High School, which is one of the best football high schools in the country. Great facilities. They get to go out there and practice nearby. And they're going to run the routine similar as they would if they were here in California. So, you know, all in all, I think it's a good idea to stay there. On the East Coast, and makes for a better environment for them.
Remind me again why I didn't make this trip to stay at the Ritz-Carlton. Keep it here. A lot more to come on the Silver and Black Show.
Jalen Richard, man. They got a nickname for you, right?
Yeah.
It's the Rocket?
Yeah.
Rocket Richard?
Rocket Richard. Rich. Yeah, that's the one I like. They be calling me Pocket Rocket sometimes, and that's cool. I like it, but I like Rocket better. Just Rocket Richard.
Where'd you get that from?
I really don't know the true story, but I think they said the voice of the Raiders. When I scored that run in New Orleans, he gave me the nickname Pocket Rocket. So,
welcome back to the Silver and Black Show. Rocket Richard, not a rookie anymore. First up, the nickname. Are you okay with it?
Yeah, I like Rocket Richard. I like it a lot.
Greg Papa gave it to you. Now, did you have to tweak it a little bit?
Because
it was something else, right?
Yeah, we had to tweak it a little bit. So at first he was calling me Pocket Rocket. And I was like, man, Pocket just seems so small. I'm not that small. I'm like, I like Rocket Richard better. He was like, no, I like that too. He was like, but you know why I gave you that? Because it was, I guess, like a hockey player back in the day, Rocket.
Oh, okay.
So he was called like Pocket Rocket or Rocket Richard too. So that's why he came up with that name. So. But we agreed that Rocket Richard was the way to go.
Nice. You guys are working together. I like it. So year two, how are things different? I know the first year everyone talks about the speed in the NFL, et cetera. How have things been different for you?
The game has slowed down for me. I've really realized that experience in this league really matters, getting those snaps, getting those reps out there, and, you know, just getting that in-game experience every week in, week out really helps. So the game has slowed down for me. I think I'm a better player this year than I was last year. I'm more honed in on, you know, my craft at a running back, knowing that I wasn't just surviving to try to make the team. You know, I was able to go into training camp and actually work on my craft and try to develop my skill and work on things I wasn't good at instead of just, you know, showing them everything that I can do to try to make the team.
Take me back to that last game, the atmosphere at the Coliseum. I wasn't there, but I was on my feet, and I can't say everything that was coming out of my mouth was G-rated. I mean, you guys had to be pumped up, and the fans must have been screaming.
It was one of those games, after you get into the locker room, you just got goosebumps. You know, that was a game that I'll never forget. Obviously, I would say that it's a historic game as far as, like, the zero on the clock and the amount of plays that we had after the game was technically over. The ups and downs in that game, we were down, having to come back, fighting, coming off a losing streak and be able to get that win on primetime football, Thursday night, everybody's watching, and then a divisional opponent too. So that was a must-have for us. But that inside of that stadium was crazy.
All right, so let's get to our five questions.
Yeah.
Get to know you a little bit. Some things have changed in the off season. I see a ring on your finger.
Yeah,
congratulations.
I'm married. Got married.
Yeah, you got married. So do you have a honey-do list yet, or is this still the honeymoon phase?
We're still like in the honeymoon phase.
Okay.
Still like jumping around and doing different things. Like we went to LA this weekend, relaxed, chilled. My little cousin was in town, so he came to watch the game Thursday night, and he was with us. But we got some things planned in the off season.
All right, so Halloween is coming up.
Yeah.
Going back to your youth, is there a costume that you remember fondly?
I used to always want to be like Dracula. I don't know.
That's a good one. I could see that. You've got like a little Dracula look going on right now.
Yeah, I do, with like the jacket and everything. But I used to be like a vampire a lot.
Are you going to maybe bring out the vampire look this year? You going to dress up at all?
I don't know if I'm going to do the vampire look. I'll switch it up, though. I might.
You are going to dress up?
Yeah, I
is
might
it a
dress
surprise?
Up. It might be a surprise. Okay. I might dress up as a Rocket.
Oh, very nice.
I might Rocket dress up
Richard.
As a Rocket.
Okay, I like it. Your least favorite food.
Oh, least favorite food. I hate lima beans.
Mm.
I do not like lima beans. My mom used to make something back in the day called like succotash. It's like rice, sausage, corn, and like lima beans. Like, and it's just food, and I could never eat it. I was like, the lima beans.
Your teammates told me that they're serving up a lot of kale right now
in
the
kitchen.
You'll do kale.
I'll do kale, not lima beans.
If they serve you lima beans and they're telling you this is going to make you faster, better on the field, no. Okay.
No.
Favorite non-football activity? Traveling. Seems to be something of interest.
Yeah,
traveling.
I played video games a little bit. I actually took up the guitar a little bit. I need to get back on that. I was taking guitar lessons.
Like you could bring the guitar here and we
yeah.
could make a segment out of it. You
yeah.
can actually play a song.
Yeah, I could. I'm almost to a
Do
song.
Do you sing while you
nah,
jam?
No, nah, I don't sing. I can harmonize a little bit. My mom used to make me be in the choir. when I was growing up. I was in the choir until I was 18.
Oh, so you can carry a tune. So something you're not good at that you wish you were?
Something I'm not good at that I wish I was good at. Skateboarding. I skateboarded a little bit growing up, but like I'm not really good at it. But I wish I was good at it. I like skateboarding.
Yeah, I'm sure Jack would like to keep you off.
No,
the
yeah,
skateboard.
He would. We'll they just would. They would not like that.
Pretend that we're not focusing on the skateboard at all. Jalen, yeah. Thank you so much.
No,
keep up the good work on the field. Keep it here. More to come on the Silver and Black Show.
We talked a little bit about the why, you know, why we love to do what we do, and why, you know, whatever it is, you know, each guy find that. That little bit that you get excited about. It's a game. Have fun playing the game of football. Things don't happen the way you want. You'll be able to get past it and get on to the next play. I think that's so important. And if things do go well, get on to the next play. So I think our spirit has remained strong, and I think that'll allow us to kind of pull ourselves out of that little bit of a rut we were in and start playing some really good football.
A four-game losing streak is not an easy thing to come back from. Turning it around goes beyond preparation and talent. When your back is against the wall, when the season is on the line, you find out who you really are, what kind of football team you are. The Raiders made a statement week 7 on the national stage and reclaimed an identity that they had been missing.
Coach, I know you got a big game on Sunday in Buffalo in Western New York, but we got to go back to that Thursday night game because it truly was one of the most incredible games I've ever seen, I've ever been at. Wow, what a win against Kansas City, a must win, and you got it done.
It was a lot of fun, I will say that. It was one of those magical moments where everything comes together. The football team played great. It was a great night. The fans were fired up. It was just a special time to shine, and I thought we did as a team.
I mean, it was like one of those games with all the craziness at the end and the untimed downs. It's like that might be a game we may never see a game like that again.
Yeah, you know, who knows? It was special. I think the way the team fought showed – incredible grit, perseverance, and will to win. I think that was very evident. And we talked about tapping into the why. Why do you love doing what we do? And guys tapped into that.
Yeah, I kind of mentioned this week, Stella got her groove back in that game. You kind of look like you did last year, that fourth quarter comeback and number 4 leading the way. Did you feel like that after the game? Like, you know, we kind of got our identity back.
Well, it just felt right. It felt like we expected to feel, felt good. So guys worked hard. We continued to believe. I think that allows it to happen. You know, if you don't do that, you don't have a chance. So we continued to believe. We continued to work hard. We went out, and then we executed the way we needed to execute.
Short weeks are tough, but when you win on a short week, then you kind of have like a mini bye. How big was that for your team?
Yeah, it was big. We got a chance to heal up. You know, a lot of guys are further along now. After getting through that short week, you do get the benefit of now a longer week and a chance to recover.
And you got a very tough Buffalo Bills team that you're going to be playing, and they like to take the football away and turnovers. But talk about, that was a must win. We're a must win again this week.
Well, they're all must wins. I mean, really, which one do you look back and say, oh, no, that we didn't need that one? We need them all. We need to start stacking up wins. Buffalo's in our way. They're 4-2. They're playing good football. They're very opportunistic on defense. We need to make sure we're taking care of the ball but yet remaining aggressive.
Yeah, they're definitely number 1 in turnover differential in the league, and that's something that I think you would like to see more with your defense is still no interceptions on the year.
This is the week to get
just,
it,
just
right?
Catch it. Just catch it. Don't tip it up to the other guy. Catch the ball.
And they've got a quarterback that's very interesting in Tyrod Taylor, who's a dual threat.
Yeah, he really is a dual threat in that he can beat you with his feet and with his arm. He can throw it a long way. But where he's really dangerous is extending the play, buying time, making people miss, and running and getting first downs or throwing the ball deep.
And Shady McCoy. I mean, what he does not only as a running back, but the way he catches the ball in the backfield, he's got more catches for them than anybody.
Yeah, Shady's a tremendous football player. You know, very elusive, very fast. I think he's one of the better backs in the league. And definitely will be a big challenge for us.
And let's talk about Navarro Bowman, a position I know you love to talk about, linebacker. I mean, this guy, out of nowhere shows up, not a lot of time, wearing the green dot helmet, and he was just big for you.
Yeah, to watch him come in and work and prepare, it was really professional is what the word comes to mind. I mean, the guy just attacked it. He met extra with Sal Sincera, a linebacker coach. They went through the nuances, wanted to make sure that he understood the plan, the things that we were going to do. We couldn't learn the whole playbook,
but we could focus in on the things that we were going to do on Thursday night. He really dialed it in, did a heck of a job.
You talk about somebody bringing a resume into the locker room. I mean, he steps he's got a resume, and it's like there's like a leadership role he can bring to your football team in a very short amount of time.
Well, it's one that we honestly have missed. I mean, you know, we had a bunch of young guys at linebacker that are unsure, okay? You bring in a guy like this that's done it, he's been there, you know, right away he's saying, no, we don't check that. Hey, this is what we're doing, you know? So he's kind of setting the course right away, taking charge, and it was awesome. Much needed, and really appreciate having him.
Coach, good luck to you. Get a win, and we'll talk to you in a couple weeks.
All right, thanks, Chris.
Coming up next, Big Lincoln Kennedy's going to break down how to stop Shady McCoy right here on the Silver and Black Show.
Hey, class. Professor Kennedy here with this week's edition of Chalk Talk, brought to you by the Ray Morgan Company. Hey, look, boys took care of business in Kansas City. It was an exciting game, but now we got to move on. Got the Buffalo Bills. And originally on the schedule, I kind of thought it was going to be an easy, a gimme, a cupcake, if you will. But one, they've got to go to Buffalo, and two, Buffalo's playing some pretty good football right now. So I wanted to take a look at one of their star backs, LeSean McCoy, also known as Shady. This play is going to be called 33 zone. The reason why it's going to be called 33 zone is because the hole is intended to be right here. But like most zone blocking schemes, there's a great chance that a good quality back like Shady will either run it, press it, and cut it back, bounce it out, have really where he wants to go at any given time. The thing when you're playing against a zone running team, you have to be disciplined on defense. In this instance, the Jets have what they call gap control defense. This man is responsible for the C gap or contain. This man is responsible for the B gap. This one will be for A, front side A. This linebacker would be backside A, so on and so forth. When they run 33 zone, you're going to have a simple blocking scheme. Out, out, double team, up. And that's why the hole should be here. The one who actually makes a mistake in this play is number 92, Big Cat, Leonard Williams. He's going to get shoved inside. He's going to lose his gap control. And then it's going to be a breakout play for Shady. Let's take a look. Watch 92. Initially, he's in good position, but he falls back in off the double team, falls back into the backside A gap. That is not his responsibility. The linebacker gets caught up in the wash. It's a 20-yard run for Shady McCoy. Can't have that happen. And that's why number 58 was so frustrated. Play two. Similar formation to where they ran 33 zone, but this time they're going to run 32 zone. Play is designed to come over here and attack the weakness of the defense on the right side. One thing that LeSean McCoy is good at is zone blocking is he's patient. He allows these things to develop in front of him, and he has an excellent burst. And 9 times out of 10, when he gets somebody in the hole, wherever he's finding a free tackler, he's able to make a miss. We're going to decipher this play. So blocking on this play goes out, out, man, man up to linebacker, man. Now, one would think, by looking at it, there should be no reason why this tackle should be able to reach this three technique. Because defenders are taught, when they're taught gap control, if their man goes away, which is this guard, he's on a three eye of the guard, if he goes away, he's supposed to follow him and shoot the gap. But again, Big Cat Leonard Williams makes a mistake. He allows the left tackle to reach him, and it's going to use a big gap backside because there's going to be a hole right down the center. Let's take a look at the play. Right now, Leonard Williams is reached. Watch the gap open up in the backside. Shady uses great patience, then acceleration. Gets in the open field, boom, makes a man miss. Gets extra yards. Plays like that, the defense cannot afford to give up. We'll see if the boys are able to take care of business when they head back east. Well, that does it for this week's edition of Chalk Talk. I'll see you next week.
A tough challenge ahead for the Raiders' run defense. Welcome back to the Silver and Black Show. Jim, if the Raiders want to win this game, they have to contain number 25. When you have a guy like LeSean McCoy, how do you game plan for him?
Well, you know, you look at the films, you see what they do best and try to prevent them from continuing in that vein. You know, he's the leading rusher by a large margin. He's also the leading pass receiver with 32 receptions out of the backfield. And as you know, in the past, against Washington, against Denver, against a lot of the teams in this league, the Raiders have trouble with the back out of the backfield catching passes. So they've got to also put somebody on him, make sure he's not out there running free to pick up yards in the passing game. But you've got to respect him. You've got to respect what Tyrod Taylor does. They're going to have their hands full, but they'll find a way to combat it and put the pressure on. There are ways to stop him. They'll find a way.
Jim, as we wrap up our discussion on the upcoming matchup here, is there one player that hasn't made a lot of noise throughout the season that you're really looking to have an impact against the Bills?
Well, once again, it's not one player that I'm looking at. It's a group of players back there, and I'm talking about the secondary. No interceptions during the course of this year so far. They've got to come up with some pass interceptions.
put the offense in good field position, you know, play tougher, don't play off, challenge those receivers and go after the football. I think it'll be important to get some turnovers in this game, make this field shorter for the offense to get in the end zone, and that will help the Raiders tremendously.
All right, it's time now for our Plunkett's pick, and that is the key to victory, one area that the Raiders really need to focus on to get to the win.
Well, I think, you know, they're going to be without Marshawn Lynch this week, and I think it's up to Jalen Richard and DeAndre Washington to do a better job of running with the football. They're, you know, they're doing well, but they're in spot situations. Now they're going to carry the bulk of the load. Fire up that offensive running game. I think that'll open up a lot of other things for Derek Carr with play-action passes, finding receivers down the field as they did against Kansas City. So amp that running game up.
All right, well, that's going to do it for this edition of the Silver and Black Show. Make sure you tune in next week as the Raiders stay on the road. They head straight to Florida for a matchup against the Miami Dolphins. On behalf of Jim Plunkett, Jack Del Rio, and Jalen Richard, I'm Nicole Zalumis. Thanks for watching.